Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Don Allen Rico and Bob Corman. This is Business Kids Academy. Welcome to our 30-minute Kids Entrepreneurial Educational Call, talking to parents and kids about the entrepreneurial mindset. And we continue our discussion about 5 E's of business. Our call-in number is 646-668-8875. Welcome, Bob. How are you today?
I'm doing good. It's a beautiful day here in Florida. I'm looking outside at a lake and ducks. So it's all, you know, it's all good. You probably don't have the sunshine and the warmth I do, but.
Yeah, we're out here in Idaho. We've got partly cloudy skies, but it's about 50 degrees, so we're happy today.
Yeah, of course, during the hurricane season, it'll be the other way around. You'll basically say, how you doing, Bob? It's, oh, my God.
Well, today we'd like to talk about the key elements of empower, which is the second principle of the 5 keys of business. And, you know, all of us have personalities, which are a collection of emotions and traits and characteristics that characterize us. Now, it's the way we think about people and how they see us. And of these traits and characteristics, you know, some of them we're born with, but many of them we learn with experiences we have in the family which we grow up. And it's definitely benefits a child if the parents or the grandparents are aware of this and can and help the child develop good personality through example. It's definitely something that needs to be looked at, and the individuals need to think about how values, faith, experiences can all influence young people in the first years of life. What do you see as some of the most important characteristics, Bob, that are important for an entrepreneur?
Well, Don, let me just to summarize the empower. There's a few key steps, you know, and again, I always try to down to what is the essential elements, because, you know, too often we get lost in the minutiae. And at this point, we really want to understand the principles so we can apply them in a way that makes sense for us and our family. You know, it's belief that you can, and belief that you can usually for young people. And again, everything we talk about younger people, Don, it's basically age dependent. I mean, you know, you don't expect the 3-year-old to be on the same understanding level as a 12 or 13-year-old. But the key is that belief is still belief you can. And even at the 2- and 3-year-old level, you know, they have to be encouraged sometimes to make mistakes. But they have to be encouraged. They have to believe that, you know, they can do things. Build on your strengths and abilities. As you mentioned, you know, we all have strengths and abilities, some that are innate and some that are taught and learned. But when you get into a young person, they can't necessarily understand their strengths and abilities. So as a parent, to basically be very, very keen as to seeing what they are and trying to cultivate them, whether that's being able to construct things, build things, whether it's being able to, you know, play a musical instrument or you know, something on that line. You know, overcoming obstacles. You know, I think we start to get more into somebody a little bit older when, you know, we have these obstacles, and I say real and perceived because as we see with many people, their obstacles are perceived. They think it is,
right,
but it really isn't. And then changing past beliefs. And again, that's we're starting to get a little bit to the older youth that, you know, when if they're just picking it up now, you have to be sensitive to, you know, what are their beliefs? What were they taught? And you can't be, you know, as a parent, you can't be thinking about, well, gee, I really didn't do a good job in this and this. I mean, you know, you can always start moving forward from, you know, when the bell rings right now. So you can't,
yeah, exactly.
You can't dwell on that too much, but you have to be observant and think about, you know, what beliefs did my child have that maybe they shouldn't have? You know, maybe it's something that's not, it's not going to serve them well. So I think, so when we talk about empower, you know, empower is really, Don, is an inside job. I mean, empower is an inside job. It's what a person believes they can do. And we characterize that by saying, turning the I can'ts to I can's. And,
right.
And that's always very, you know, how many times have you heard people say, you know, well, we have to get this done. Oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. You know, but when you break it, it becomes less intimidating. You know, if you want to just say, let's throw this rope and climb the mountain, you've got to go through various steps, and they got to be the right steps. So I think empower
exactly.
is an inside job. And as you get, for young people, you know, you have to give them the belief that they can do things, and you have to help steer them toward their interests. So that's kind of how I would, you know, kind of do a, you know, kind of summarize that. And it really, again, age dependent is very heavily on the parent as a child is young. As they get older, they're going to start to have other influences. Influences in school, influences from friends, and some could be good and bad influences. But it's going to, but,
yep.
but they're going to start to be doing things more on their own.
You know, and one of the things too, Bob, is that about this program is the fact that, you know, even though that a parent might have young children, a parent can also look at their own. You know, back in the past, and are they ones who say, well, I can't do this or I can't do that? Do
yeah.
they need to, you know, make a few changes within themselves? You know, I think one of the things you mentioned there is the, you know, the focus on mistakes. Children need to be allowed to make mistakes and coached
yeah.
through them. You know, I see so many times that parents will get after a child for doing something wrong. Well, gosh, you know, I mean, it's their first time doing it. How many times in our first time doing something did we make a mistake, you know? And,
yeah.
you know, I mean, we all of us make mistakes.
It's also a good point you made, Don, is that when parents go through this, it's probably going to be an exercise for themselves. They're no doubt going to look at this and they're going to think through, you know, when they were young, when they were children, you know, what kind of beliefs did they have that they passed on? You know, we talk about, you know, passing, you know, families passing things on. Well, that's both good and bad. You know, there's a lot of good things that are passed down, but sometimes there are bad things. So I think you're right that it's going to be, you know, it's kind of like we talked about the law of unintended consequences. Well, this is a good consequence. The consequence is the parents, as they go through it, they're going to start naturally to think about their own childhood, about their own biases, and it may be actually a mutual growth and learning experience, not just one way.
Right. Exactly. You know, I mean, I remember as a young father, I had all these great ideals and ideas that I wanted to implement with my kids. And you know what? It didn't happen that way. My just certain things that I was ingrained within me, you know, it took me until becoming a grandfather to become a better parent than I was as a parent.
Well, as a grandfather, you have different, you know, you don't have the kind of pressures that you have. And also you have the benefit of a lot of years of learning and seeing, you know, some of the mistakes you made and maybe some of the mistakes that you made actually with child rearing. You may say, gee, you know, when, you know, when my boy was 8-10 years old and he wanted to go out to that that baseball team, and I kind of said, no, no, you got to do your studies, you know, maybe that would have helped him. So you start to think through, and you get it. It's kind of like a second chance. You know, I've got one saying, you know, I'm writing a book of sayings, Don, and we'll be working on that. And one
good
saying is that, you know, you can't undo the past, but it doesn't mean that you can't learn for the future. It doesn't mean that you're trapped by that past. You know, you can't undo it, but every day you have the opportunity to create it, to build a new creation. If you look at the day as a creation, as opposed to, oh my God, I got to do this and blah, blah, blah. Every day you get a chance to create. And so we have to stop, you know, sometimes I've seen people get into the guilt mode. Oh my God, you know, I really didn't do my child good. I didn't do this, but you know what? That's not helpful.
Right.
You know, we have to learn. We have to learn and use those lessons with the child. But as you teach, you learn, you know. As you teach, you learn. So you can't worry about undoing the past because you can't, but you can focus on building the future and learning from it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's a very important point in the fact that that's what's great about us as individuals is we don't have to keep making mistakes, the same mistake over and over. We can change it. If we can realize that and, you know, just say, well, geez, that's the way I am. Well, it's not necessarily the way you are.
Yeah.
It's not
asking the question, that's the way I am. The question is that the way I want to be? That's
exactly
the question. That's the way I want to be. And if the answer is no, then you've got some work to do. The other thing I was thinking about, Don, is, you know, I do a bit of journaling, and journaling is probably something that a lot of people don't do, but when you're dealing with your young people, especially, I think keeping journals for each of your youngsters, you know, that way you could see, oh boy, you know, Johnny really took these building blocks, and you can journal and you can start to build patterns that maybe because of your busy day you might not think of it, but by journaling maybe at night when you have a little bit of a quiet time, and now we have something that we didn't have before. Guess what? I mean, I probably have, when I was a youngster, before the age of 14, I think I have about 20 to 30 pictures of myself. Now, with cell phones, you know, you have thousands of pictures. So it's a perfect way to journal and photo record at the same time. You could, look at how he did and take a picture. Then sometime you can sit down with your child and say, look what you did. You took these blocks and look what you built. So it's kind of giving them incentive, but keeping a journal, I think, both a pictorial and a written journal, I think could be a huge help in terms of putting that program together, you know, for your youngster.
Absolutely. You know, and here's an application of that practice. And I think this is something that, you know, I mean, something that I can't say I did sooner. I mean, I think of pictures that I've taken. I've got an old 1947 Willys Jeep. It's something that my dad, it was the car bought it. My dad bought it when I was 6 years old. And then when I was 13, I started, you know, I claimed it as mine, and that became my car to drive to school. And
uh-huh.
I still own the Jeep. I still own it today. And as
wow.
taking pictures of it, you know, the first time I made any changes on the Jeep, and it was under the supervision of my dad, we took out the old four-cylinder and we put in a V8, a 289 Ford V8 in it. Well,
wow.
I have the project. It's in my garage. And I've this time around, though, is I have a blueprint that I actually draw on. I use a program on my computer. It's InDesign. And I'm drawing out everything that I want changed and how I want it changed. And I look at it over and over and over again to see if there's mistakes or if there's problems or, you know, to make sure that it. And then as I go out and work on it, then it becomes a reality and start doing things through. Those are characteristics, you know, that me a lifetime to learn that. It's that journaling you talk about, you know, of making mistakes, and the next time around you say, well, how can I make this better? And see, that can be applied to business as well. We can plan out businesses. We can, you know, it might be something, you know, people just jump right into business and they make a ton of mistakes and say, oh, no, business is not good because I remember last time, you know, I had this or that happen. And perhaps it just wasn't planned out right, or they didn't do something, you know, just exactly right. In the book that you write, The 5 E's of Business Success, you say motivation to excel is the desire to get things right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, whether we're dealing with customers, how can I get this right this time? That simple mm-hmm. question. And I think that's a great point that in the book that you write, you know, that you bring that up is, well, how can I get it right? How can I do this or that right? And that can come through journaling.
Yeah, and that's not to be mistaken as perfect, because we know that, you know, we're not perfect. We're not perfect beings. So getting it right, being the integrity, building the business properly, is the important thing. You know, you have to make a judgment as to, you know, how perfect is perfect, but you always can never forget. I remember I used to have, when I started my business, and I worked for several companies as a blue-collar worker, as a management person, as an analyst, and my company, I used to have a sign in the shop and in our conference room and say that, you know, your salaries are paid for by our customers.
Uh-huh.
I wanted them to always understand that it was our customers. Yes, I was the one that signed the check, but it was the customers that were paying their salary. And whenever we used to have customers in, we used to give them a tour of our plant, always treat them with great respect. And we had the confidence to where, you know, we would meet with them, and then we would put them on a schedule. We get the production manager, the controls people, and everybody would do their own thing and talk to them. And the comments we used to get say, you know, this was quite an experience for me, because number one, usually the boss is always there and is always dominating the conversation. Number two, you had the confidence in your people to take me through without you, to take me through the production process, the control process, the engineering process. And then what they said is that, you know, the enthusiasm here is just tremendous. You know, they're so enthusiastic about what they do. And that was the result of a lot of hard work. But, you know, it goes back to what you're saying is that, you know, you have to be, you know, when you're enthusiastic about things, it gives you a lot more satisfaction, and it gives you much more of the ability to do the kinds of things that are going to ingratiate you to your customers.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing too is, you know, as you talk about it, customers, you know, I think this was an experience that you shared also one time with me, is that you would call into your company and ask for you, just to simply see how people would handle it.
Exactly. I would call and ask for me when I was on the road. And, you know, and if I was, you know, it was like a training exercise, but I wanted to see. I mean, am I being put on hold for 5 minutes? Now, this was the time when, you know, we didn't have cell phones the way we did. You know, still sometimes we had pagers. And sometimes I'd be on the road and I actually had to find a payphone. But I used to do that because I wanted to see how they were treating us. And if not, I wouldn't be angry. But when I get back, I sat down and I explained and I talked to them about it. And it improved. Over time, it improved. I said, you know, but you're right. Those are the kinds of things that tend to help you improve your organization.
Just yeah.
Like you talked about your automobile, Don. You basically, everything you did to it was to improve it, right? You had the automobile and you said, I'm going to put another engine in. I'm going to put some tires on. I'm going to do this. You did it to improve it. The same thing with the business. You have to say, what do I need to do to improve? And a lot of that is motivating people because your will and your work is generally being carried out by employees.
Right. Yeah. And depending on, you know, their attitude, the values that they have, depending on, you know, how they deal with problems, it really reflects upon you as in your business. So those are the values that we're talking about, values and experiences that influence.
How are we doing on time, Don? How are we doing on time?
We got about 8 minutes left.
Okay. Well, I think coming back, you know, if we would just want to could circle back a little bit to the parent. Again, you know, like age dependent, we understand that. But with the younger, let's focus on the younger children for time being, and that could be anywhere from, you know, I don't think two is too young to start thinking about it. Maybe to 7, 8, and you know, give them positive experiences. So we talked about journaling, you know, noticing their skills, journaling. Taking pictures of different things, which you can sit down and explain to them. Gee, Johnny, we bought you these blocks, and look what you did. It's building confidence, and so put, you know, have some exercises that can give them more, you know, give them confidence. And if they do something wrong, you know, just explain to them. Just, you know, take them aside and then say, you know, that to improve. So. You really have to focus on giving your youngster a good positive home experience, and you still are. We talked about teaching. You sent them off in the hands of teachers, but you're their most important teacher. So,
oh yeah, always.
That never changes, and also to get a good handle on, just see what their skills are. You know, what are their skills? How can we cultivate it? If a young person is gravitating toward music, you know, help them, move them along in that path. So you're really like the director. You're like the director. You know, just thinking about it, Don, you're like the director of a play. You're like a director. You're basically directing your children in terms of building their confidence, in terms of finding their skill sets, finding what they like and dislike. You're really like the director. And as that young person gets older and older, you know, that direction changes. You know, now they're doing more of the direction and you're doing less, but you're still providing the guidance and resources.
Which, you know, Bob, that is so, so important in the fact that, you know, parents do not realize, I think younger parents, I should say, don't realize the effect that they really do have on children in directing their lives. You know, I know that one of the things that I've heard over and over again is get a good job, go get a good education. And we've talked about that. You know, a lot of times that's what people end up with is a $50,000 education bill. And then with something that they can't use simply because someone told them, go to school, get a good job, and, you know, on those. And so we direct our kids, you know, if we change that tune a little bit in, you know, to teach them that you know, that if they can't get a good job, maybe they can create a job that, you know, they can start their own business.
And, that,
they can
and,
do
that, and, that, and that's become, and that's becoming more and more, because I think, you know, I think we talked about a chart last time that showed that there's a great decline in the number of high school students being employed.
Right.
About 20% from the high 80s to the high 60s, whereas even though college educated young people fell also, but this was most precipitous. So, you know, not everybody's meant to go to college, but the point is that anybody with the right skill set and backing, they could get a business. You know, we don't have to think about, you know, is this an Amazon? Is this this? You know, people, it could be a lawn care business. It could be a service business.
You bet.
There's a lot of different kinds of things you could do that potentially can grow and expand. But
and,
when
and
you
each
have that,
and everything,
then your future is under your control. You know, the days of the father, my daddy worked here, my grandfather worked here, I'll work here, my son will. The days of that kind of loyalty are over. Those days are over.
Yeah, they are. And like you said, though, is that it's what our parent, I mean, that's what the parent's responsibility is directing the, you know, providing that direction. And not necessarily to what they want, but what the child is good at, what they're gifted at, to teach them the values, give them experiences that'll be good overall, you know, customer service, you know, teaching things that are good values and skill sets that can be used in any aspect of it. So those are all important things. So,
and as we said, Don, they're going to learn also. They're basically, it's what they're going to find is that as they go through this exercise with their children, they're going to start to think about their own upbringing. And, you know, and maybe a parent will start doing this and they'll find that they're going to get the entrepreneur bug.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to say, wow,
exactly.
I could do that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm tired of going to work worried about if my boss is going to fire me today or not.
Yeah. I just talked to a guy this morning that his job ended. Well, of course, his boss was turned 80 years old, and he decided he didn't want to work anymore. And he was 66. And he says, you know, he says, I think it's done. I think our shop is finished. And they tried to make it work, but it did come to an end. And those things happen. All right. Hey, Bob, thanks very much for this. I mean, time flies and there's so much to understand. It is important that like you said, empower is an inside job directed, started by the parents, and it's the values, the faith, the experiences, all of those things are great influences from the parent. And so thanks for being with us today, Bob.
And I think the unintended consequence could be the parents may wind up getting as much out of it as their children.
I hope so. That's the idea. Thanks for being with us on this afternoon or on the recorded call. This is Don Allen Rico and Bob Corman with Business Kids Academy. Make your day great and keep on dreaming. Bye for now. Thanks, Bob. Business Kids Academy is a production of Q Ford Productions, copyright 2019, Sabre Mountain Incorporated, all rights reserved.